Imagine if you take the stairs every day for a year. Like that's, you know, 355. How many days are in a year? I always get
365.
365. I always want to say 355.
Oh, that one's going on the front for sure.
Welcome to the Ancestral Mind Podcast. My name is Colin Stucker, founder and CEO of Wild Foods Co. and theancestralmind.com. We are here to cover all things from an ancestral health perspective so you can make decisions on a daily basis while considering the first principles of what makes y'all sexy human beasts. I got three of these sexy human beasts at my table right now.
Whoop.
Woohoo.
Let's go.
Which one of us was excluded from that statement?
It was very hard for Colin, but he said all of us.
Okay.
So take it.
So, Brent, you can go first since you're the unofficial, sometimes official co-host of the show.
Yeah, well, I'm the unofficial, sometimes official co-host of the show. Sexiest human beast that I know when I wake up in the morning. Brent Philbin, podcaster extraordinaire. That's my entire resume right there.
Perfect.
Ebony, why don't you go?
I'm Ebony Kenny, a professional poker player and confidence and dating coach and founder of UncagedCollective.com.
Mr. Logan.
Loganstein here with FusionLean.com. Changing lives as I change my own.
We're going to get into, let's just do it right now. I want you guys to each tell the audience a little bit about yourselves because each of you have been on one or two shows at this point. And so maybe some of them don't know who you are just yet. So Ebony, please share with us a little bit more about what you do and who you are.
Sure. I've been playing poker for a long time, mostly my entire adult life. I am a single mom of two teenagers, which is insanity because my daughter's going to be 18 in less than 2 weeks. But I am a sex and confidence coach, and I essentially just help people kind of step into their own power and feel how fucking good it feels to feel good and not be ashamed and use that to execute in other areas of their life. Because I think there's a huge overlap between how you show up in your relationships and in the bedroom and how you show up in every other aspect of your life.
And we're actually going to talk about that in today's show because we're going to talk about risk-taking, vulnerability, and you know, shame and all the things that go on in our very public world, right? Mm. And how a lot of it is mismatched to our biology and, you know, how we obsess over things like how many likes a picture got or what this person might do or say. And it's just another extension of this weird mismatched world we live in. And so we're going to talk about that for sure. Definitely want to go into some of the relationship stuff with you. Actually, all of us, because we've all been in relationships at some point. And Logan, what about you? What are you doing to change the world?
I help people create the best version of themselves through FusionLean.com. My online keto meal and workout plans. I vlog, I do Instagram content, and I do it to help other people in any way I can, whether that's motivation, diet, health, mentality, emotional growth, all those sort of things put together.
Brent just looks like he's itching to say something. So
have you seen Captain Marvel yet?
No.
There's a guy in Captain Marvel that gives the best version of himself speech. And we both heard it and we're like, that's Logan.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. Jude Law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, is he the guy?
He's like the good / bad guy.
Spoilers.
Just watch the movie.
Wow.
Just watch the movie. So you also have an interesting story because you are a brain cancer survivor. Is that right?
Yes, sir. It's like almost exactly 3 years.
As of yesterday, what'd you do yesterday to kind of celebrate being, do you call it cancer free? Like, what do you call it?
I call it cancer free. Yeah. They don't call it cancer free.
Right.
Because they just don't know. So they can't legally say, yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not. And then I sue them, you know?
Sure.
So is it just like remission? Is that the...
They just call me a cancer patient. Essentially, a brain cancer patient.
Yeah. But every time you go to get tests, it's like they can't find anything, right?
Yeah, there's nothing there.
That's good.
But yeah, I ran 30 miles yesterday and I'm...
Jeez.
It's hard for me to breathe even when I'm sitting right now.
Yeah.
Like it's been like that all day.
Your body's trying to recover. It's taking every bit of oxygen to your muscles to recover.
Yeah, but...
Okay.
You ran 30 miles. Brent and I couldn't even walk up 5 flights of stairs right before you got here, Logan. Colin made us take the stairs here and we're carrying like our laptop stuff and like extra bags. And we were like,
yeah, no, I so was like I holding the rails.
Path of most resistance, ladies and gentlemen. That is something that we promote here on the Ancestral Mind. We don't take the elevator when the stairs are right there calling our name. We take the stairs. Imagine if you take the stairs every day for a year. like that's, you know, 355. How many days are in a year? I always get this. 365. I always want to say 355.
Oh, that one's going on the front for sure.
365 days in a year. If you take the stairs every time, think about how many calories you burn. Think about how much more movement you'll have moved. Sounds weird.
Well, that's why I'm happy I have stairs in my house. Like, is I have a love-hate relationship with the stairs in my house. Like, anytime I forget something upstairs, I'm like, fuck. But then I'm like, okay, it's good. Booty's looking great. Getting some cardio in.
Yeah, you have
great.
To change your the way you perceive it. You have to change, like, oh, opportunity for more movement instead of, oh, opportunity for more movement.
Well, right. Well, that's what I told you. Like, whenever I fly and you get off the plane and there's escalators and
can't stand that.
People, it's literally like 99.999999% of people take the escalator.
And what do they look like? They look like robots. Yeah. They're like, yeah. They like sit there and look forward like they're freaking lemmings. Like, yeah. And I'm just like walking down on the stairs, like glad to be moving after sitting on the plane the whole time.
That's exactly how I feel. And I always get like these weird looks from people. Like, they're shaming me for making them like feel self-aware with the fact that they're not.
Because we're in the United States.
And I'm just like, I smile and I'm like, get on with it, lazy fuckers. Like, do
Have you seen what they do in Korea? They put a picture of a skinny person and they point towards the stairs, and they put a picture of a fat person and they point towards the escalator.
Are you serious?
Yes, it is perfect shaming.
Oh my God. I love that. But also, I just love it.
I mean, I'll tell you this. When I was running yesterday for 8 hours straight, I saw nothing but people just like, looking at the sun, holding their little latte and feeling amazing and loving life. And I'm literally like, dying, and these people are just enjoying everything. There's one people. Okay, this couple was actually pretty fat, and we were running.
Scumbags.
No way to sugarcoat that one.
No. So I was running by him, and the girlfriend goes, "Oh man, you're lucky I don't make you run, huh?" And as I'm running by there, it's like mile 20, and I'm just dead. Making running jokes.
That's absolutely insane. Eight hours of running, like, geez.
Yeah, no stopping.
If you're interested in that picture, it's going in the show notes right now. I found it.
I don't know if I could even sit in a money machine for 8 hours and grab money. Run somewhere for 8 hours.
I probably could manage.
I couldn't even have sex for 8 hours straight. There's nothing that you could do for 8 hours straight.
I've done that.
Unless you had a timer going, I don't believe it. You definitely had breaks or something.
Wow, Colin Bull. Unbelievable, Colin.
But we need to get into the show, okay? So we're going to get into the show. But first, who is the show sponsored by, Brent?
This episode is sponsored by wildfoods.co. Real foods, real ingredients, real people that work at the company. And they will get you your real food really fast. You can go to wildfoods.co. Use the code AMPODCAST12. To get 12% off your order.
Everybody at the table, number one or two Wild Foods products that you use, Ebony, go.
Collagen every day, coffee every day. Collagen's my favorite.
And coffee, yep, more coffee.
MCT oil.
Oh, yeah.
You also use the pink salt pretty much all the time.
Oh, yeah, that too.
The pink salt to cook because you cook almost all your meals at home.
You asked us for two products. Like, every single day, I use the MCT oil, the collagen, coffee, pink salt, and turmeric. Mm-hmm. Fish oil.
Yeah, I cook with that.
Literally, it is a main staple in my and the charcoal. My kids love the charcoal.
Yeah.
For when they like go to school and, you know, it's not great food.
I've been just taking it almost every day now.
Yeah, Jaden takes it every day.
Just to clean out, you know. And because I'm trying to cut my caffeine intake a little bit, I'm also taking it when I have the coffee. It's kind of a neat little trick where you can maybe reduce some of the caffeine you ingest while also still getting a caffeinated drink, right? Because like, I can't just go straight decaf just yet. I'm still a little bit too much on the caffeine. And so it's helping me kind of wean off of it a little bit. So also though, we are, we have something we want you to download. So go to theancestralmind.com and get the 7 principles of living wild cheat sheet. You also get some videos from us and I guess me, you get videos from me and it's just awesome content. You also get new shows that come out, et cetera. So go and download that at theancestralmind.com. Now, what the heck are we going to talk about today, Brent?
Well, we've been talking about success a lot. When we have successful people on the show, we think, hey, let's continue to talk about success. So we're talking about success and mindset again. Everybody's got some quotes prepared. We've got some real specific life examples. I think it's going to be fun.
It's not just success. I wanted to make this a little bit more general. So we're going to talk about vulnerability and risk taking. And obviously that is exactly correlate to financial success in our modern world, but it's also very important in relationship success and also in just personal growth and development. right? And so like we all have our different perspectives, you know, Logan, college dropout, you know, young entrepreneur, amazing story, doing his thing. Ebony,
poker player, also college dropout,
you know? Okay. So to kick this off, we're going to talk about risk taking in our modern world. So obviously we're going to do the ancestral perspective. Like, why are we so afraid of other people's opinions? That's kind of what we're going to unpack first. And we can give the ancestral perspective for that because, in fact, I'm going to let Brent kind of, he's been 10 shows in, right? A lot of this stuff is new to him. He did hang out with me before, but we didn't really dive deep into some of the evolutionary biology type stuff. And so I want to see where he is at. We're basically quizzing Brent right now. So why, Brent, are humans so scared of being socially shamed or making social, you know, making a social mistake?
Well, you don't want to be ostracized by the tribe, Colin. If you're ostracized outside of the tribe, you can't protect yourself because you're going to be alone and humans need to cooperate. So, yeah, they get all scared.
Well,
and mating. Jesus, that's another reason.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's like, that's kind of...
There's only like three people you can have sex with in an entire tribe. So.
And you'd have to do a lot of bad things to get kicked out of a tribe because it's basically family. Like, you'd have to be like hoarding food and stealing and doing things like that, right? Before then, you would definitely have some issues, right? If people were gossiping about you and shaming you, things like that, and one of them would obviously be no one would want to mate with you.
Yeah, and that's where the fear of rejection comes from. Like, if you get rejected by one of the eligible aged of the opposite sex in your tribe, all of them will now reject you by default.
It's a legitimate concern, I mean, for reproduction. Like, back then, if you were living with the same 20 people your entire life, I mean, think about that.
Yeah,
you don't have that many options. You can't swipe left or right and just find somebody else, right? Like, so it was a legitimate concern for our genes. Like, and that's why we, like, some people talk about how even just public speaking is the most fearful thing they do or whatever. And it's like, it makes sense. It makes sense from an evolutionary perspective. But now today in a modern world, as with all things, it's mismatched. So why would we want to take more risks? And why should we not care today what people think? I mean, obviously there's some exceptions, like in your workplace, like, it can definitely cause problems with you if there's issues or whatever, like, you know, but in general, we don't really need to care what people think, especially strangers, right? So maybe Ebony can talk about what are some benefits, like why would we want to not care and what is it going to let us do and how is it going to hold us back, et cetera?
I mean, when you think about curating your own life, like what does that look like for you? Like, are you living for other people? Are they living your lives? No, you have to live your own life. And so if you just kind of give in if you buckle to the pressures of what everyone else thinks about you, then what kind of life are you actually living? And what's your purpose? What's your, like, when you wake up every day, you're just decision-making is based on other people's decisions. And to me, like, that is misery. Like, I would never want to just wake up and live a life where I'm just like, okay, every decision I make today is based on making sure that people think A about me versus just going deep within and letting that lead how you live your life. I think there's something huge to be said about being yourself, being an individual while still, you know, maintaining some sense of, I guess, being a part of whatever group you're in.
Well, I don't think most people wake up and tell themselves like, oh, I want to make sure everybody likes me or whatever. I think it's very subtle.
Maybe not consciously, but I definitely think there's some subconscious decision. Like, people please, like, one of my favorite quotes is people pleasing is just another form of assholery. And there's like a lot of people take pride in the fact that they are people pleasers. To me, it's just like they're not living for themselves when that's their thing.
Yeah. I mean, well, I guess people pleasing, that seems like a little bit of a specific fringe type of thing. But I mean, what about just people that are overly concerned with appearance or overly concerned with whether people liked their picture on Instagram or didn't or commented or what? Like, I feel like we get sucked into these little things that represent a lot of these ideas. And the problem for most people is they have no idea they're doing it. Right. But when you look at it, this is why in high school I always had issue because I always saw people that went to parties and went to drink. I always thought they were just trying to fit in and I could like literally see that. And I just felt this like irksome to do it myself. I just feel like I always kind of observe people from a young age where I feel like a lot of people don't do that. And so I don't know what, I mean, the average person, like they buy things that they don't need because they think it's going to look cool to other people. But a lot of people, you could ask them that and they would be like, oh, I just like it. Like they don't even understand why they do things.
I think it's stuff that was instilled in us at a young age. Like think about like as a young girl, like I was taught to like smile more, be clean, be pretty. Like these are these things that you know, your family and outside. Yeah. Societal pressures that have just, we've all been conditioned to do things, and boys have been conditioned to toughen up, don't cry, don't show your emotions. Mm-hmm. And so it starts there, and then it continues on into adulthood, well into adulthood, where it's just, these are the things that you're expected to do in order to be, to look the part of someone who's successful in society.
So what can we do about it though? Like, Logan, what do you think?
I'll tell you this. When I was like in high school, I was like that guy that was like, I always need a girlfriend. I always need a girlfriend. Cause if I don't have a girlfriend, then girls don't like me. And then like, I felt really like
pressure. Right?
Yeah. Pressure. Yeah. But I felt low confidence and stuff. I'm like, well, I don't have a girlfriend, and all my friends do. Do they just not like me? They don't think I'm attractive,
story.
You know?
Keep going. But I'm going to make a note. Going to come back to my
story. Yeah, no, I mean, that's the way I was for a very long time. And then I was with one of the girls for 4 years, and then like, after she left out of nowhere, I'm like, you know what? I spent my whole life always trying to get approval from another girl and trying creating my happiness. I need to create my own.
Yep.
And so I was like forced to do that with my, you know, story and everything. So,
I mean, that's internal versus external validation and seeking. And I think, you know, that's just one example of it. I guess I'm just trying to, I wish I could, we could figure out something that's more broad to everybody, because we all do it. I guess we all do it in different ways, into different levels, right? But what are the benefits to not doing it? Like, and what are some, and how can we maybe be a little bit more vulnerable or take a little bit more risk in our lives? Whether that's how we dress, maybe it's like whether we speak up at work, like offer our opinion, ask the boss questions that might be challenging, like things like that.
Just get uncomfortable.
Right. Okay. So maybe that's the first principle that we could kind of focus on. So like, if we can get uncomfortable, it's usually a sign we're doing something that's kind of challenging the status quo. It's sometimes a form of risk, right? A lot of times it is. So maybe that's something we can seek out. But what are some examples of that? Like, maybe each person can go around and offer something in their own life that they make a point of trying to be uncomfortable because they know they're weak in that area, and so they want to work on that, right?
I got incredibly uncomfortable yesterday. I mean, I was debating
physically
myself.
Uncomfortable.
I mean, I was debating myself a million times. Like, why do you need to run 30 miles? Like, right. Stop. But I just debated myself, like, no, just get uncomfortable. Get the reward after. So I just had to make a decision.
And you're not doing it for the physical.
No.
You're doing it literally for the mental.
Yeah, that's right? All.
So what benefit do you think that would create in your life? Like, just make you resilient?
I mean, it just shows what humans are capable of. I did no training. And that's that's an ultra marathon is what I just did. Mm-hmm. Not just a marathon, but an ultra marathon. And I just completed it with no training while being a GBM survivor for 3 years.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, I knew in my head, I told myself it was possible, and people would think it's physically not possible, but mentally it is. And that's what I...
Yeah, that's wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brent, how about you?
Well, first of all, I don't know why they need to be going adding adjectives on top of marathons, for the love of God. Like,
you've got to... it's my longer than a regular marathon.
Can we just stop at regular marathons? No.
No, what are the ones that are like 100 miles?
Why do we even have to have marathons?
Yeah, because humans are absolutely insane.
Yeah, but like ultra marathons are like, they're 30 miles, and then like...
There's ones that are 100 though. Yeah. It's called something else.
Those are usually like specific races, like Badwater or...
They're like through the desert 100 miles or something. Like, this crazy
stuff. Oh yeah, so we might as well take the adjective and put it in the desert. Let's throw in some dragons while we're at it. Brent, the dragons.
Brent, how much would it take you to do like an ultra marathon in the desert?
Well, I certainly wouldn't physically be capable of it. Like that. I how much would it take for me to train and become physically capable of that?
Yeah. No, I mean,
not that much, but
I think she means what would it take you to just do it?
Yeah. I mean, what would it take me to go that distance? Multiple days and like probably assistance and stuff like that. Like, I don't have that level of physical fitness to even
You have the energy in your body. You wouldn't even need any food. You just go slow.
That's true. I wouldn't need any food.
You could do it. You would just go very slow. You would need water. Yes, exactly.
You have fat. That was it.
Yeah.
Fat and 10 grams of protein. That was it.
What'd you have for your fat? Oh, you had your coffee, like butter coffee.
Yeah, fat coffee, BHB, a lot of water. And then I stopped like halfway through and I had the collagen protein bar. And that was it. That was like 10 grams. And then I didn't have anything else for the rest of the race or the run.
Well, Brent, it's your turn.
Things that I do that make me... So it's tough for me because I've said this before, I'm uninsultable. So the risk reward is a lot different. If I do something that makes somebody mad because I wanted to do it, it doesn't bother me as much. But there were times in my life that it did, you know, my early 20s, mid 20s, I had like a real hard time talking to women at a bar, going out and like going up and saying, hey, and whatever. So
wait, let me interject. But in high school, you didn't.
No, I didn't in high school.
So it was that like transition from high school to like, you know, adult life or whatever.
In high school, Logan's like, I needed to have a girlfriend to make myself feel validated. I tried to take two girls to senior prom. So I was in the opposite end of that spectrum. But there was something killed my confidence like right in my first few years of college.
Because you get out of the safety net of high school.
And, I was out of the safety net. Yeah. I wasn't like one of the cool, I was like on the school news and stuff. So there was a lot of, and
you had a little cachet.
Yeah.
Like a popularity,
social validation or whatever, because I would be recognizable or something like that. I don't know.
Yep.
But I got out of that little bubble and then I got bad at that. And then what did I do? I went and started doing, I guess they're called the comfort zone challenges. Now, one of my friends is like, no, here's what you're going to do tonight because you're having such a hard time going up to girls and talking to them. You're going to go get rejected. You're not going to do anything tonight except go out and try to get rejected.
Yeah.
And then I realized when I was intentionally trying to get rejected, still so few people reacted poorly to me that it really changed my paradigm on what I was willing to say to people or when I was able to put myself out there. Just as an example of something that I did, I grabbed somebody's drink. I drank it. I handed it back to her, said, "That drink sucks. My name's Brent." And she talked to me.
Achieving the impossible.
Opinions expressed on the show in no way represent Wild Foods or what you should do in real life.
I'm not saying you should do that in real life. The intention was to get her to throw the drink on me, and instead we had a conversation.
How could she throw a drink on you that you just drink?
I mean, I guess.
It's gone.
I don't know. It blew my mind. I would like to see somebody do that to Colin.
Colin does that to everyone else. Hey, guys, if you've ever eaten with Colin or like sat anywhere where there is food, you have to protect your plate, like physically protect it with your arms and or eat faster than him. Those are your only two options.
I'm still going to eat it. So I don't really know what protection's going to do if I want it.
That's only one example. I mean, there's a million things that I've done that have gotten me outside of my comfort zone. I break my comfort zone very fast.
So let's break this down then. So you found yourself in a situation where you were struggling. You weren't getting results that you wanted.
Right.
And it was hard because you came from maybe high school where it was much easier for you in that regard.
Yes.
Right. So you said, okay, this thing's hard for me. I'm not going to make excuse and say, I don't like going out or I'm going to stay in every Friday night. You're like, okay, I'm going to do things to try to get better at this. And what you had to do was take risks. You had to take the risk that you're going to get rejected. Right. And I'm sure you did sometimes.
Yeah. And you know, there were plenty of rejections.
And then you just did that and you got better at it and you got better at it. And then you just like, eventually it was just a skill you had, right?
Yeah. It eventually became something that was real easy for me to turn on and off. If I wasn't in a relationship, if I'm out at a bar, it's very easy for me to talk to men and women now. Like I didn't used to go up to random guys and start conversations either. Mm-hmm. I would just kind of like go to a bar and drink with my friend in the corner, and I would never go to a bar by myself. And that was like, and not that I don't want to suggest everybody be drinking. I'm only coming up with this in that particular time of my life. It was really weird for me to go to a bar by myself, and I would just do that. I would just go there and just start talking to people, talk to the bartenders, talk to the other people around, and just meet people. So,
yeah. And all that, I mean, that just takes practice, man. It becomes very easy when you do it, but it's very hard to do it if you're not used to doing it. Yep. And then you have the people that, you know, will title themselves introvert or whatever, which I don't really like people putting that label on themselves because I think it limits them too mentally. But if you are more in that spectrum of more of an introvert, like this is the type of thing where you could be going out and taking the risk to talk to people, realizing most people are nice because most people don't want to offend you. So like you're not going to see the crap you see in the movies where people make fun of you for like trying to have a conversation.
Yeah, unless
right?
you're in Miami.
That just does, that's true. Miami or Boston probably, right? But that doesn't happen in real life. Most people are nice, right? And you can even practice with bartenders and servers and, you know, members of the opposite sex, flirt with those people because they get paid to be nice to you. They have to be nice to you, right? So that's a good example. What about you, Ebony? Do you have any examples of this in your life that you've done? Basically anything that you've done to kind of put yourself out there or take more risks or be vulnerable or what?
I definitely think for me, transitioning to public, like amongst my friends and my family, I've always been the girl that the girl and the woman that people come to talk about sex and relationships. But I think for me, I had this idea of like being a mother and being able to talk about this publicly. Like I was like, okay, like, am I allowed to do this? There's this idea that once you're a mother, you're supposed to be more reserved, more conservative. And we all know that I'm not reserved, nor am I conservative. But I had this moment where I was like second guessing myself about like, you can see like the journey of my social media postings or anything I was writing. I was just very like, I was hesitant and I wasn't being true to myself. And I had to really like dig down and be like, okay, like, who are you serving right now? And I was really giving in to what society thought I should be because I was a mother. And like, at the end of the day, I'm a multifaceted human being who has multiple interests. And it doesn't fucking matter what anyone else thinks because I'm not hurting anyone. And in fact, I'm helping people. So it was a lot of gut checking on my part.
And what did you do?
I just got really honest, like every time with myself, every time I was reading anything or I would think about conversations I was having in private versus what I was posting in public. And I kind of compared them and I realized that what I was putting out there publicly was not in alignment with who I was actually as a person. And I got super honest with myself and just I had a couple of people in my life just be like, hey, I need you to hold me accountable here and call me out on my shit whenever I'm not being genuine.
Okay, but what did you do?
What do you mean?
You got honest with yourself. Does that mean you went in on social media and said, I'm now being honest with myself? Like, what did you actually do?
Yeah, I literally started posting and saying, I'm not holding back anymore. This is what's happening.
Okay. So what are some, so did you make certain YouTube videos? Did you talk about certain topics that you wouldn't have talked about? Did you get certain comments?
Listen,
negative feedback?
Of like, course. What did you do? I mean, okay. So like my YouTube channel, I have Magic, Sex, and Coffee, my YouTube channel. And like one of my most popular videos is like, are you too big for anal? And so it's literally like me giving tips on anal sex and talking about like how my experience with it is and if you want to try it and et cetera, et cetera. And then on the flip side, my second most popular video is me sitting down having a sex conversation with my daughter when she was 15. She wasn't having sex yet, but it's like those are two very opposite ends of when it comes to like any kind of like advice. But these are the thing, like I am 36 years old, I'm a sexual being, and I'm not going to pretend like these things aren't interesting to me or to anyone else. And like these aren't things that I'm curious about. And I know that if I'm curious about them, that means that there are other people that are curious about them. So I've decided to just confront everything that I'm curious about head on instead of like kind of towing the line and trying to be PC and worry about what others think.
What resistance did you get when you were doing this? Or you're still getting?
So I still get like the people that are like, oh, you do this for attention. And I'm just like,
what, like messages, comments?
Yeah, messages, some comments, you know, and then people are just like, oh, you're classless and like all this stuff. And I'm just like, listen, at the end of the day, I know that whenever you're like giving me shit, you're projecting whatever's going on with you. Like you have an issue with me, you know, diving deep into my shit. And like, I used to take offense when people had something to say. And now I just look at it and I smile because I know at the end of the day, they are thinking of me, they're remembering me. And whether they agree with me or not, there was something that reverberated there. And they're going to take home, they're going to take that home.
Do you usually respond to these people?
Nope.
Yeah. But also a side note, no, Logan, this is a good segue because Logan can talk about this. This is the weird paradox because our biology doesn't like getting negative feedback, right? We don't like it because, again, it's that social safety, right? Because our biology thinks, oh, dude, you're going to have less access to mates. Like, you're going to have less sex. Like, no, you need to be safe, right? But today we know it's reverse. The more risks you take, the more you track your audience, your people, your tribe, right? The less risks you take, the more you are in your little bubble, the less you can express yourself, the less awesome you're going to be in life, like, you know, in work, et cetera. So someone like Logan literally gets hundreds and hundreds of negative comments and messages a week, oh, right? Yeah. Like insane amounts. And I'm like, I know I've seen it affect him before. I know that when I was posting more on YouTube, it would affect me more. Now, it's funny because, and maybe he can attest to this, I don't know if it's the same thing, but on my YouTube, when the little notification bell pops up with like red, I'm like, oh, I hope it's some negative feedback. Like, oh, I swear to God, like, I'm like, I want to rip someone a new one and then delete their comment. Like that's basically what I do. Like I just reply and then I delete their comment.
Yeah,
and I'm replying for myself.
I look at it like entertainment now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But also, what I look at it as, for me, it's fuel because the more I can polarize people and the more people are going to come at me and give me their whatever, then the more I know I'm kind of striking a chord with the people that are paying attention.
Right.
Right. Because you can't be vanilla. You can't be boring.
Right.
You have to polarize people. That means you have to be more of who you are. And those haters are part of, you know, doing that. And so, Logan,
honestly, negative feedback can be really important too. Like going to be some piece. People never give you negative feedback because they feel like at least the ones that like you, they're going to be nice to you. So if you get negative feedback from a reasonable source, not just a troll, you can actually use that to your advantage.
Yeah,
and then you can tell them they suck.
How do you delineate between that though, because I think for me, and I want to hear Logan's take on this, it's like the people that are just, you can kind of tell they're being very petty, or they're name calling, or they're just like being childish. Like those people, nothing they say matters to me, right? Yeah. But the people that are trying to offer constructive advice or whatever, you know, sometimes there's going to be some info in there you might want to know or hear about. But an example of this is some guy commented on my videos recently, and he was basically telling me, like, he said, you'd look more professional if you weren't like flailing your arms around or whatever. And I'm just like, bro, I swear. I was like, I'm totally okay being who I am, right? And I'm not going to be some idea of what you think I should be or whatever. Plus, this is like my YouTube channel. Like, who am I trying to be professional for? And so it's like that kind of feedback, though, that's not good feedback.
Right.
Right. That's just like pure kind of absurdity. If he's projecting what he thinks we should be or whatever on me, and it's like, if I listen to that too much, it could actually make me more robotic and rigid, right? So you have to be careful with that. So like, Logan, what do you do? Because you get feedback where people are trying to tell you what to do, what to say, what, like, more of this, less of that. Like, you have to be able to be strong enough in your character to try to like ignore that. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, when I was started posting keto stuff and started my keto business, it was so like so uncommon because keto was not huge. And I was getting like comments from some people I actually really looked up to that I never thought would like see my page. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I cannot believe you're going to become like the world's number one fitness scam artist and this and this. And then it got to a point where it was like, there's always just the guy haters, you know, the swole guys at the gym who's benching 500. I get those guys every day. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, like, you know, like, for example, yesterday, after I ran 30 miles, I did a live stream. In a brain cancer fighter who's been following me for all a long time, he comes on, he says, yeah, it may have been good that you did 30 miles, but you're literally brainwashing people and hurting people with what you do. I'm like, wow. But I said, hey, man, I'm not sure if there's something going on here. I wish you the best. I'm happy with my life. I don't know if you are. Again, I wish you the best, and I'm just doing what I can to live a long life. And I said, I hope you are too, because you and I are going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. So why not help each other? Mm-hmm. But anyways, when I get comments like that, I have so numb to it that it does not faze me at all. And I literally just either delete it. If it's absurdly bad, like if it's something where it's like, I hope you die, which I've had a lot.
Yep.
Those are just deleted. Or I don't respond to them because I get a lot of those comments because people see I respond to every single comment on social media, Instagram, YouTube. I respond to every single one of them. So it fuels the people who are willing to leave the hater ones because they know I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
But I literally just blur it out.
But what did you do in the beginning? Because no human can get that kind of shit in the beginning and be okay with it.
Oh,
like you had to have gone through some stuff.
I'm actually writing this in my book, or I wrote it a while ago, like in the towards the beginning, middle of the book, where like I was, because I felt so lonely. I had like no friends after college doing my business and I got so much hate. Mm-hmm. And so I'd literally just sit on my couch and I would like start sweating and I'd start responding to these and trying to like leave like long responses and like,
mm-hmm.
it was so, so stressful in my life. And it really like almost made me not even like what I was doing.
Yeah. Until it sends you down a rabbit hole.
But it made you better, right?
Oh yeah. I so learned a lot, better, you know, right?
And you learned and you're stronger or whatever. And so, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it's par for the course. Like it's going to come. Anybody, like Jamie got a message the other day about, she's sharing her story. I mean, what is she doing? Like, she's calling sobriety and things like that, right?
Sober dance parties.
Yeah, she's her sober dance challenge. And I'm so proud of Jamie.
For alcohol, sugar, like things like that. And, you know, someone who was a close family friend she used to babysit for maybe 6 years ago in Florida sent her a direct message and said, Jamie, you shouldn't be posting about your story. Nope. People don't want to hear about your story. And you're going to regret it later on when if creepers are going to come around or like just like all this really kind of like. For me, when I read that, it's like psychology 101. This woman is projecting her insecurities and the fact that she's not doing it onto someone like Jamie who's willing to get on and do it, right? And that the sad reality is that's the same people that say things to Logan about like, I hope you die and shit. It's people that are just so miserable with their life. They can't stand to see someone, especially a young kid, maybe even younger than them, right? Because you get into the ageism thing. Like I get people all the time that would like, oh, you're just a kid. I'm like, bro, I'm 33. Like, what are you talking about? Or I'm 30. Like, just because I look younger doesn't mean anything. Also, you have no idea what I've gone through in my life, right?
Right.
And so that kind of crap, you get that all the time from people that they're swole. So they think they're better than you or think they know more than you or they think they're bigger than you. So therefore, they know more about fitness or nutrition or all that nonsense and all these absurd dogmas that we have in our culture. This is the thing that happens when you take risks. But as we all see, we're all here. And I think all of us around the table are kind of at a point where we've maybe risen above it a little bit. Maybe now we should try to figure out what are the things we currently, that we're trying to currently work through. Like, what are the risks we're trying to take on our life? Like, and what are we trying to accomplish with that? Because I know we're all evolving. Like, we're all going to keep going, right? So maybe that means doing more of what you're doing, or maybe you want to try something else. Maybe the 30 miles for you, Logan, was like something because you don't really do cardio. So, Ebony, go.
Boom.
Boom. Right on the. So I know, like, okay. So one of the things, so I'm part of this group called the Thirst Lounge 10 now. So I stream on Twitch one or two times a week. And I am very upfront about, like, I only wear clothing because it's illegal not to. Right. Like,
I
literally, like, we're born naked. We're going to die naked. Like,
it would not be illegal to not wear clothing in this studio right now. I'm just saying, like, nobody.
Brent, you're the worst cameraman ever.
Guys, the camera just fell. Brent, like, flailed his arms like Colin.
So as I was saying, it's not illegal at all.
No, it is, because the show is supposed to be kind of PG-13. But we're getting wild. We already made it R today.
About to get bugged.
But my point is I kind of like confront, not kind of, I definitely confront people's idea of what modesty is supposed to be based on how old I am or whatever, their judgment, right? So I will purposely wear, because I want to be, first of all, I want to be comfortable, but I'll wear whatever I want whenever I'm streaming. Sometimes I've worn like a turtleneck. Other times, like yesterday, I was in kind of like this tanky sports bra type thing, whatever. And people come on and they're just like, boobs, 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 you know? And I use this as a moment to teach them about how I'm not doing these things for attention. I'm doing these things because this is how I want to show up. And I, in spite of the fact that I know you're going to troll and I know you're going to comment and be a 12-year-old who just discovered his nether regions, this is how I'm showing up regardless. And that has nothing to do with you. It's all because this is how I am. This is how I want to show up. And this is something I constantly am going through. Like, so many people think that what others do is about them. Like, they take it so personally. And like, how big of an ego do you have to think that like what Logan's doing is directly because it's like if like, you know, your 30-mile run yesterday was about the other guy, the brain cancer survivor, like he took that so personally. Like, how much of an ego do you have to think that this is a direct reflection of you?
I have some questions. I have some questions.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Ooh.
So first of all, let's unpack this a little bit, because women, and I have a love-hate relationship with this, obviously, because I'm a man. Know. So women that use their body to get attention, it's love-hate. Because on one end, the primal side, I like seeing it. They've even done studies that men that look at breasts more often live longer, right? I swear, like, that's an actual study. Somehow they confirmed that.
So I'd like to just tell everyone out there, you're welcome for helping, you know, increase your longevity.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, the other side of me is like, we as humans, especially in our competitive, you know, like competitive for attention world, if you have some good, I have a problem with all these social media influencers that it's basically like softcore porn, but they don't really offer any value. There are some like fitness that can offer value. There are some that maybe like try to use a platform to do things other than just show off their body, and make money. Like, so there's like a spectrum of topics here.
Right.
But I think women generally, right, should use the advantages if they have them. So if you have big boobs, you should use them. I mean, to an extent, right? How do we reconcile that? Because there's shame around it. There's judgment around it. And those are the two things that I can't stand. I can't stand anybody projecting their views onto other people. I can't stand people making judgments when they don't know shit about anybody, right? And they don't have a right to. Like, the only people that should matter from a judgment perspective should be like your friends and family. Everybody else can just keep their damn mouth shut for the most part, right? Like, you're coming here on my channel, my podcast, my video, my article, whatever, and you're basically projecting your hate or your nonsense. Like, who the fuck are you, right? So how do we reconcile that? Because I think there's a point where you should do that, and I don't really know like what the answer is, you know? Like,
I think it goes back to the very first thing that we talked about is like, why are you doing the things that you're doing? Like, are you doing them for other people? Like, for me, everything that I do, everything that I wear, however I choose to show up is strictly because this is a decision I'm making for myself and no one else. And so for me, it's a lot easier for me to take those comments, confront them head on, and use it as a teachable moment and just be like, listen, for me, like, do you know how long it took me to fucking love my body. So if I want to show up this way and have my fucking tits out, then that's what's going to happen. And there's no one that can take that away from me. So for me, it's a lot deeper than just showing up and being like, yeah, I have, thank God. Hey, shout out to Dr. Pricey in Naples. I have a great rack.
Hey, what's up, doc?
But that's neither here nor there. It doesn't matter. Like if someone thinks it's great, if someone doesn't, like the fact of the matter is that every day that I show up, it took me so long to get to this point where I love myself and I can be like, yeah, you sexy motherfucker, this is how you're going to show up today.
But what about the reality that most women will get their boobs done to either make themselves feel better or more worthy or to like compete with other women? Like a lot of times it stemmed in some kind of either insecurity or external validation, because if nobody saw your boobs, no one would ever get their boobs done, right? Like if the boobs weren't a public thing, no one would, there would be no breasts, there would be no surgery, was a plastic surgery industry at all. So like, how do you reconcile that? Like Matt might've been the origin. You might've evolved since then.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah,
I definitely
got my boobs done because I, you know, I'd had two children. I had was like small boobies and I was just like, oh my God. Like, you know, I had.
After pregnancy, they're not as good either.
Well, wow.
No, that's why a lot of mothers.
First of all.
Colin's over here projecting.
Listen, I'm not projecting. After you breastfeed, this is fucking fat, guys. After you breastfeed, your boobs are almost never the same.
And no, you can ask they're any, for sure not going to be the same, but you mother, shouldn't say they're not as good.
I've heard things about them not being as good. Or when I say good, when I say it's good, it's the perception of good.
It's different. Like
society's perception.
Well, right.
And perky, like, big, right?
Of course. But there's also like as a woman and as a woman who's gone through two pregnancies, like your body changes so much. And right. There's so much, like my boobs were huge when I first had my daughter. They literally look like brand new, rock hard, like double. They were like double E's. They were so obnoxious.
I don't know what that is, but
they're giant, like Dolly Parton. They were massive. Mm-hmm. And so like I had to like mourn the loss of like my brand new ginormous boobs. And like they went from that to like smaller than they were before. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was like I felt that I needed to do this in order to kind of like I didn't get my boobs done until after I had my second child, right? So now I'm a single mom of two children from two different fathers. I feel kind of shitty about myself. People are making me feel shit about my situation.
Yep.
And I absorbed that and thought like, maybe if I get my boobs done, then people won't really pay attention to the fact that I'm a single mom of two kids. Mm-hmm. You know, it's this idea that I need to feel desired and wanted, and maybe that's going to help elevate, you know, my level of desiredness.
Well, and so, it is a form of external pressure. I, you know, it's
for sure.
And there's a varying spectrum. Some people do because they think it's going to make them feel better. And some people do it because they feel like they just want to like be given a chance or compete in some way. So Brent, you have anything to add over other than just like watching on as it's comedy?
So I also have giant boobs, so I can.
Okay. Stop the show. Stop the show. Pause the fucking show.
Okay. So I went initially, I would, you know, dress provocatively or whatever because I was seeking external validation, but I went through this self-love, compassion, and I evolved and I had to grow. And now I do not seek external validation whenever I'm choosing. Like this is literally, I'm doing this for myself. So, but that was a long and arduous road for me personally to get through. And I know that not every woman is there. It took a lot and it helped me be less judgmental about other women and their choices.
Yeah. I think also what we should really try to bring to the surface for everybody is, and this is a problem with us, we see people do and say things and we think the things they're doing and saying have to match our worldviews, mm-hmm. right? But when you really let go of all that garbage, like you realize that most people are good. Most people are trying to live the best life they can and maybe impact the world in a little bit better way. Most people are not malicious, right? We put so much of our dogma and judgment on people. And it's like most people, if their boobs are hanging out, are not sluts. Some might be, right?
Yeah,
some
cares?
Might literally be porn stars, but like most people aren't, right? So just drop making your judgments, drop all of it and let people be who they are and let them be different than you, right? And embrace them for the good that they can offer you and just accept the things that maybe you don't agree with.
Yeah.
So let's move on from boobies.
Yeah, let's. I've had enough talking about that. I can't believe you guys went on that for so long.
Oh, don't even try. We just cut out 5 minutes of you because you were just talking shit about boobies. So that's the honest truth.
I mean, I certainly wouldn't call it talking shit about boobies.
First of all, I love that you keep calling it boobies. Like, you're like 12. Let's move on from boobies.
Exactly. Now, point two I got here. We have practice risk-taking in relationships, in business, and in your professional life. And then I also have like money. So risk-taking money, which is kind of a separate topic, but we will cover that a little bit. And so where should we go from here, or how should we broach this topic?
I'm gonna give a real obvious example that I think could affect a lot of people, which is think about the last time you asked your boss for a raise. You went and you were like, listen, I need more money. I believe I've created a lot of value here. I'd like a raise. And think about why you haven't asked that. If you haven't asked in a while, there's going to be some of you that have. I would say that many of the people that I know have never had that conversation with their boss. They accept the 1% to 2% that they get every year as a raise, and they're hoping that they get promoted in the company rather than going and saying, hey, listen, I've taken on this responsibility. Here's all these reasons. Give me a raise. It's a really uncomfortable thing, and it's a big risk because people will think, well, what if he says no? He's going to hate me. When in actuality, most people will tell you that when they have that conversation, it doesn't go poorly.
Don't say I need a raise, though. Here's my advice from an actual being a boss. Say, I feel like it's either deserved or I would like one or something like that.
Well, there's better ways than what I was saying there, but the conversation itself
Don't receive. That's kind of the reality.
And closed mouths don't get fed.
Right. And this is the reality that most people live in. They live in this little bubble of safety and they expect the world to come to them. Like, think about the people that this is what I see the most with guys, right? And Logan can understand this. These guys go to the gym. They're pumping iron. They're getting big, right? Yeah. A lot of them are literally using steroids to do it, which is a topic for another day. And then they think that because they walk around with their arms hanging out of their shirt, the girls are going to like fawn over them and like just drop at their feet. Yet, but when that doesn't happen, it's like their whole worldview is just shattered, right? And I see this crap all the time. Like, you have the guys in the bar, you literally go to a club and they're like sitting there with their drink and they think people are supposed to just come up to them, right? They think, oh, I spent time in the gym and I got big, so therefore I don't have to actually take any risks. People will come to me.
I'm whatever the opposite of that is.
It's the same thing in your work, though. It's like people think that the employer's going to think about how they can pay you more money. No, nobody is thinking that, right? If you don't bring it to their attention, if you don't ask for it, you generally won't get it.
Well, there's something to be said that a lot of people go through life thinking that if someone in their life cares about them, then they should just be able to be a mind reader. Like,
Or think about everything you want or do everything.
Like, example, my sister was in the hospital last week, and her ex-husband had their daughter, who's, I think she's like 12 or 13. And I was like, has you know, she come up to see you yet? And he's like, no, he hasn't brought her. And I'm like, well, have you asked? She's like, I shouldn't have to. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but so this is an example. No, you shouldn't have to, but if you want to see your daughter, you need to ask. Like, this is not about, you know, you can't expect someone to do something just because you think that they should.
Yeah. Also, the thing with the whole expectation thing is most of the time you have no idea what people are thinking. And what I've learned anytime I've done that is most of the time people have perfectly reasonable explanations for why they didn't ask you or didn't even try, because they thought, well, maybe I don't want to get in the way. She's recovering, or I don't want to distract her, or whatever. Like, there's all these things that you have to just ask. If you want something, you ask. And actually, this gets down to personal responsibility, extreme ownership, which is actually a really good book that I read on the topic. Anything that we have in our life, any of our lives, is a result of what we do or don't do. Right. Other people don't owe you shit. Other people don't have to do anything. I don't care if you think it's your wife, your husband, your daughter, whatever. It's not that they shouldn't or that they don't care or whatever, but people just usually aren't in the same mind frame. They're not thinking what you're thinking, and to expect them to is extremely narcissistic. Mm-hmm. It's also the best way to set yourself up for failure. Like, you want to ruin your relationships, have expectations around them. You want to have amazing relationships, have no expectations so that everything you get is gravy. It's like, that's should be the default. Yeah, most people do it the exact opposite way. And now we can kind of talk about this in relationships, because I feel like a lot of relationships are built on this expectation nonsense that could be a result of like family or society or movies and like what people think the way it should be. And then when it's not that way, you know, they're like, oh my God, whatever. Like, you know, the fairy tale or men should always pay or all this nonsense, right? So it's like, how do we, one, avoid doing that? But then two, how do we take risks in kind of the relationship sense? Because that's another topic that we should probably cover. Like a big one. Real quick then, this came to mind. if you like somebody and you don't tell them, right, you have almost a 0% chance of something happening. Or you have like a 1% if they like somehow come around to tell you, right? But if you tell somebody, you have a 100% chance that something will happen as a result, right? Like, look how like unbalanced that is. And yet most people, what do? Oh, well, I'll subtly flirt here and there. I'll do these little things, yeah. Right? Like, it's so absurd how much we'll do to avoid just taking a simple risk of like telling somebody you care about them or whatever.
I have a great game theory breakdown of this. I don't know if you're interested in hearing this, but think about the act of telling somebody you love them. And two people are having to make this decision about whether they're going to tell the other person that they love them. If you both choose to say, yes, I love the other person, you both live in harmony, everybody's happy, it's good. But if I choose to tell Colin I love him and he says he chooses to say that he doesn't love me, I've now taken this massive risk and it's a big loss on my end. If Colin says he loves me,
could be a risk on your end.
And I say that I don't love him, same thing. If we both say that we don't love each other, nothing bad happens. Everything is fine. So it's the same thing as the prisoner's dilemma. The best outcome is when you both say yes and you both cooperate with each other. But the correct play is to say no because of the risk involved in saying that you do. So the like game theory based, even though your best outcome is yes, we both love each other, the correct play is to say that you don't.
The reason it's different from the prisoner's dilemma is you don't both go to, if one of you loves one and one doesn't or isn't willing to say it, it doesn't mean that you automatically both lose. Yeah. So that's the only issue with that.
Yeah, I take issue with that only because like for me, whenever I tell someone something or I give someone something, those are gifts from me, right? And an actual-
But most people will do it as from expectation.
Of course. And that's when you are able to detach yourself from why you're giving someone that gift. Like, are you giving this person this gift because you want something in return? Or are you giving them this gift because you actually care about them and their happiness matters and you just need to share your feelings? When I detached myself from that and started to share what I was experiencing and what I was feeling with my lovers, with my friends, with whatever situation. And I just said like, look, this is, I literally have no expectations. I am detached from the outcome. This is just me sharing. When I started to, you know, come at it from that angle, I was relieved. And like all of my relationships got so much better and people, like every person in my life was more comfortable with sharing because they knew that when I was telling them like, hey, I really, this doesn't matter one way or another if you feel the same way, they knew that that was the truth.
But most people can't do that. So like what?
Most people can, they just don't.
Well, yeah, or most people are approaching it from the kind of scarcity, like if I tell you, I want you to tell me, yeah. You know, exchange or whatever. So I think generally though, your strategy though, to do things without a expectation is always going to lead to better outcomes either way. Yeah. So I definitely think that's like the right play for most people, but you have to really like mean it, you know, because if you're doing the thing where you're like, well, don't worry, you don't have to say it and it's totally okay. But you know, deep down you're like, I want them to say, I'm telling them love them. It's been 6 months. They should love me by now. Like, right. Like if you can't quell that inner, you know, that inner,
it's your,
whatever.
It's your ego that's like, yeah, just stepping
lack of self-awareness,
and you
right?
have this conversation with your ego and your ego's like, oh, but he better say it, you know? Yeah, and
then,
it's like, that's the devil and the angel.
Then it's
on
even
your
worse because now you're like lying on top of it. Right.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, and that's why we can get into like why self-awareness is such a huge thing. But what are other ways in relationships? Like obviously a risk of telling someone you love them is a big one. What are some other things? I mean, going up to somebody that you don't know and trying to talk to them, like even expressing interest in somebody, which is just kind of saying like either saying or hinting at some like I'm interested in you. Like yeah. A lot of people, they can't even do that. They just like flirt or like tell their friend and say, yeah, go tell him I like him or go tell her I like her or whatever.
Yeah.
Like crap like that.
There's also on the flip side, there's this idea that if you not telling someone you're not interested, right? Like how many people like dodge that and they just like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Entertain.
So they like string you along because they don't want to like hurt your feelings. But the reality is telling someone the truth is going to be way better for them than placating to them.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the story that we didn't get to. Remember the story I told you guys I had in high school?
Wow.
In high school.
Throwback.
Okay. In high school, I was a senior and this girl was a junior. And she I almost didn't understand why she was into me, because like she was really cute and like I didn't know if she was like trying to get something from me or because I was a senior or whatever.
Oh, and this is back when you had the afro too, so yeah, I don't how could she be?
Bro, you have no idea how awesome I've always been, so I'm just gonna let you know on that. But so I had, she either I heard from somebody or I had this idea that she might have been like, you know, quote unquote slut. Right. Everyone knows high school. Everyone talks shit about people and mm-hmm. everyone has these like labels or whatever. And or she was promiscuous or whatever it was. And so I had that in my head too. We hung out a few times. I actually really liked her. She's really cool. And she kept wanting to hang out with me. And like I remember I just straight up like ignored her like the third or fourth time because I thought that because I didn't want my friends to know I was hanging out with her because I thought that the you know, her being a slut or promiscuous, whatever, was going to like rub off on me. So like, it was a purely social play. And then later on, it was like 4 years later, I was working out with some of the buddies in high school. And I kind of told them that I hung out with her a few times and they're like, what? Dude, she was so hot. And I'm like slapping myself in the face. I'm like, why? Because I actually liked the girl. That's the thing. I liked her and she was cool, but I literally stopped seeing her because I thought other people were going to judge me for it.
That's right. Yeah. How many relationships fail or don't even get off the ground? Because people are worried what others are going to think.
Yeah.
And how many unhealthy relationships last longer than they should because other people think that you're a match?
Well, what about parents and like friends and family? Like, oh, you guys are perfect for each other. Yet behind closed doors, you like hate each other. You fight all the time. Like it's toxic. Like that is more common than it's not, actually. Yeah. Right.
Like, Logan, you were in a 4-year relationship. Like, did you guys have any like expectations or were there things that you did that were like externally validating your relationship or did it stay longer because you thought it should
and
have?
Why did it end?
I mean, as far as our relationship, it was we were close, like very closely knit together. I just think that like that over time, I think that she wanted different things and I wanted different things. And I think what kind of ended it was like, she wanted to experience being young in college. She kind of wanted to experience the college life. And I had absolutely no desire of being there at all. And so when you have two different wants trying to come at each other mm-hmm. and go together, that's when things get a little confusing and a little off balance. And I think it affects, you know, like time alone. I think it affects like, you know, what we want to do or, you know, it really affects the alignment. And so I'll never know the true answer, but I believe that she left me partially because I was so invested in my business, which kind of makes sense. You know, I mean, I was so invested.
But why? Why can't she just be happy for you?
Because I don't think, because she didn't know what she wanted. She felt that like, well, if my boyfriend is going to make enough money to be able to drop out, and then when we graduate, we're going to have enough money for a family. What's the point of me even going to college? And where's my self-worth mm-hmm. at? It kind of makes sense that just because I'm doing good or I'm doing something doesn't mean that she shouldn't focus on what she wants or she shouldn't work to find what she wants.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little bit of an identity thing, though, because what you're doing in your life and it maybe gave her some insecurity.
That stems to like the expectations. Like now what she thought your relationship was going to be has changed now because your views have changed and where you're going and what you actually want to do. And so that like puts a big crack in what she thought was going to, what the picture was going to look like for
you.
Or
maybe
she thought
she had to compete with you. Right. You know, yeah, for a lot of people, that's tough. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, because it got like whenever the social media started like really growing, it got to a point of like, oh, hey, you're Logan's boyfriend. Not like, oh, hey, Kylie, so good to meet you.
Yeah.
You know, so she viewed herself as like, again, worthless.
She was an extension.
Yeah.
Almost like her last name was in a phone as like girlfriend was like.
Yeah. Logan's girlfriend or whatever.
Jeez.
Yeah. No, that's totally, that makes a lot of sense. How does that apply to today's topic? I mean, you guys were young. I don't even know if anybody did anything wrong.
Well,
it was just
Logan,
one of those things.
Logan is still young. That's the crazy thing is like, you forget how 23,
22.
22, yeah. Like so young. My God, Raphael is 22.
And well, so as being single, Logan,
wait,
right?
I have an idea. What about a little bit of a live relationship back and forth here with Ebony and Logan? She can show off her skills.
They're not in a relationship.
Sorry, not relationship, but dating. Maybe.
I mean, I don't think Logan's even in a spot right now. Like, he's so focused on him. Like that's my read. Like I feel like Logan's like, look. Well, I'm doing XYZ. I was going to
ask him some. We can ask him some questions about that. I mean, are you taking any risks in the relationship arena? I mean, what is
no,
that?
No, I mean, am I like, do I want to get married one day? For sure.
Well, I'm not asking you that either, because I would never ask you that.
But I'm saying, like, I'm not seeking, because that's the thing. In high school, I was always seeking a girlfriend. Like, I was like, okay, I need a girlfriend, need a girlfriend, need a girlfriend. Now I'm like, I don't need anybody. I need myself. Then maybe a girl down the road will pop up.
But that could be a safety for you.
Mm. Safety what?
If you don't have to go out and try or get rejected or anything, you could be like, I'm just all doing it for me. And you see that crap all the time. People stay single for 10 years because they think they're better that way. But that's not always the case, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I'm just focusing on creating the best version of myself. Like, that's my focus.
You can't do that with somebody else though? Like, you can't date and also create the best version of
yourself? I think if I'm focusing on myself and creating the best version of myself, then it can correlate to somebody else.
Okay.
Because if I'm going to seek approval and I'm trying to focus on other people and getting rid of the time that I'm focusing on myself, that could take away of what I could bring to whoever, whatever girl comes up in my life.
But why does it have to take away? I don't think it's take away at all. Like,
it's something, it's a chance to add. Like, think about the people that you have in your life that you have a positive impact on, right?
Yeah.
And all the relationships that you're building. Like, think about the friendships here that like, I know that, you know, I've been here for almost a year and a half, and like, I think we met you right after I moved here, I think. Mm-hmm. And so, like, over the past year and a half, like, we've all gotten very close with you. You know what I mean? Like,
and it's not at your expense.
Right. You're not sacrificing any time in you creating the best version of yourself. In fact, Colin obviously is going to say, like, you're welcome in this spot.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, your life has been elevated, and your ability to peel back layers of yourself and be vulnerable and be a risk taker and decide to, like, go ham on yourself has helped and grown exponentially because of the people in your life. So why would you limit yourself?
Well, Izzy, you know, that was actually my question. Are you actively avoiding this? Are you, like, afraid of getting hurt again? Like,
oh,
you
know, no.
So, like, you're open to it, but you're not pursuing
it? I mean, completely, from getting hurt, completely numb from that. I mean, I went through the most painful breakup. After 4 years of dating, she left me over a text message. We never talked again.
Well, right, but numb is usually actually a bad thing.
Like, well, okay. Invincible
is impossible.
feelings are so important.
Yeah.
You need
to be
able to feel.
You're content with it.
Yeah, well, because I focused on myself, I've gained confidence within myself. Mm-hmm. And if somebody doesn't like me, they don't like me.
Do you have any girls that, like, slide into your DMs and they're like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, I would say, well...
That's hard for me, though, because I feel like they're always trying to get something, so it makes me kind of...
Well, that's part of it, too.
I'm just curious, because, I mean, they want something. Maybe they want something from you, Logan,
I respond to a girl that I think is attractive and I could be attracted to, I respond 100%.
Do you respond? Like, do you pick up? Do you pick up on, like, what they're throwing down? Like, do you ever kind of, like, read between the lines? Or are you able to be like, okay, like, clearly... Yeah, this is professional, but there's something there. Like, do you ever?
Yeah, but they don't. I mean, they don't really come a lot.
But when they do, are you ever? I know. That's what she said.
I stopped. I successfully stopped myself.
Do the thing.
Oh my gosh.
We all three of us in our adult minds, we're just like, we can't think clearly.
This is a wild podcast.
That's right.
I literally couldn't move on. Like, Brent's over there.
That's why I can't have the camera on him. I can't even pay attention. Like, can't stay on point. If we have any professional guests on the show, like people we don't know very well, we're going to have to really, really
evaluate whether we're going to have them in front of me. Yes, I understand.
We're going to put Brent in another room.
So I think what we're trying to get at is, do you think you have any mental blocks to dating?
No. Like,
so you don't?
I have none. There's not, like...
Well, so then what, have you had opportunities? I mean, you also don't go out. You don't really, like, you don't go to bars. Like, you don't do things like that. So, like, your opportunities for actually meeting people like that are limited. But, like, maybe you meet people at Whole Foods. Maybe you, like, go... Have you tried Tinder? Is that, like, of interest, or are you just not really trying?
God, no. I have no interest in those things.
I mean, that's
how I met Allison. Well, we have Darryl now. It's the greatest thing in my life.
So for me, like, this is what I think. I think focusing on me, okay, investing in going to retreats, summits, whatever.
Yeah.
I meet people.
Sure.
Oh, there's a girl there. Oh, she's really cool. We start talking. get her number, whatever. She's interested in keto or whatever. And it's become very similar. And that's like somebody I would line up with.
Yep.
I wouldn't go to that. I wouldn't go to a dating summit. I would go to one that's going to better me, that I'm going to learn from, grow from, and find somebody else who's doing the same thing I'm doing.
Right. But the devil's advocate to that is you might never meet somebody who's at a keto event that could be congruent with you in a relationship. Right. Like there are lots and lots of people, but it's actually increasingly harder to find them in day-to-day life. You also don't go to school. Most people actually date and work or school. You don't go to a job and you don't go to school. You right there have limited like 90% of what most people would, where they would have found their mate. Right. So I'm just saying like maybe you would want to look into online dating. I don't think Tinder is a place, but like there's some other apps that
Bumble's a good one.
Right. What's the one where the girls message the guys?
Bumble.
Okay.
Bumble's really cool. Good. And like here's the thing.
We could do YouTube videos on it.
Yeah.
I'm not wasting my channel on that.
No.
This would be interesting.
Mine. We'll do it on mine. But honestly, I feel like a part of you has a block up because of what your expectations of what a relationship looks like. And because your last relationship was so much, her identity was so entrenched with yours that I think there's a part of you that's afraid of that. And like, instead of just moving past that and like conquering your fear and just be like, hey, I might be missing out on some really great relationships, experiences, moments.
Maybe she'd be more casual. I think haven't done like the adult casual dating thing. Like in high school.
Experiences and moments.
It sounds like your last thing was a serious relationship.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like how many relationships have you had? Like in life, just like that
one. Gosh.
Like, but they were all
seven, maybe?
Were they all high school?
Well, the high school one was sophomore year to sophomore year of college. And then before that, I've had like, some were middle school and some were high school.
Okay. So like
after the, your,
no.
So like, see that, I feel like you have to
date
casual.
A little.
Yeah. You need to like, just get out and socialize and just be like, hey, like there's no expectations here. I'm going to go out. I might find someone that I have a great time with. And that's the only objective
just
is like
you
just
two,
being
though.
Good.
No group. That's the thing. Like I think you and just her would go out and grab
some Topo
I can't
Chicos.
Say drink. Yeah. Grab
no,
Topo Chicos.
Grab a couple Topo Chicos and just like go for a walk. Go for a fucking walk, dude.
Yeah. Or like go to Whole Foods together.
Not right now.
And
because
don't
obviously.
Meet people in bars. Meet them in Whole Foods. Meet them in coffee shops. Yeah,
that's
much
better. I mean, like, I don't know. It's not my focus. Like I'm not here like trying to get into a relationship. Do I want one day? For
this
sure.
Isn't about but trying
it's
not, to get into a relationship.
No, I know.
It's literally about
the opposite of that.
Creating a multifaceted life, right? Like you have, how are you ever, you want to get married one day? How are you ever going to be practiced enough to recognize the woman that is going to be your wife if you've only been in one relationship you're going to go from like 0 to 100 with the first person that comes along whenever you're ready to start finding your wife with zero practical experience.
You need the experience too. Like,
see, I don't think you do. I'm a little bit different. I'm very confident within myself, and if I'm confident within myself, then I'm going to be confident with whatever happens. I feel like I'll be blessed one day.
No, we're talking about different things, Logan. We're not talking about lack of confidence. We're not talking like you need a date so you can be like a strong, confident male. We're talking about you need a date so that you can make a good decision because you're the type you want a serious relationship. You want kids eventually. The worst thing that you want, Logan, is to have kids with someone who sucks or is a bad person or maybe a different one.
Well, I wouldn't invest my time.
Maybe that is who you want. I'm saying you don't want to have kids with someone who's a pain in the ass or like not a good person or is petty or whatever because you're going to be tied in the rest of your life and that really freaking would be bad.
And you want to be able to create the ability to discern from what you want, from what you don't want.
Yeah.
And that only comes in practice with experiences and moments. Like when I say like get out, when Colin and I are sitting here saying, talking about like, we think that you need to get out and start dating. It's not like you need to get into a relationship. It's like, you just need to be involved with people that you're attracted with and have some moments with that and then focus on all your shit.
Yeah, you should actively maybe not even try to get in a relationship. Like you should actively be like, I don't want a relationship, but I just want to have some fun. And that's and then if the person comes along, you're like, okay, I really like this person. Then you make a really good educated kind of choice to like maybe pursue it more, you know? But if you don't give yourself opportunities with different people, the thing is there are so many people and there's a lot of people that can match for most of us, but the majority of people don't match with us. Like each one of us at the table has probably had like 10 or more people that we've maybe try to pursue something that we no longer talk to and that we're probably glad we'd have kids with, right? Oh, like God. Each one of us. Some of them, some of us, like Ebony, might have more than that.
A lot more.
A lot more than that, right? So it's like, it's just more of a make sure you have good data on for females, like to know what you really want or like to know what would maybe work with you. Because again, like having kids is a big deal, man. Like you just don't want them with the wrong person.
Oh, yeah.
No. You know, or and then I mean, having a family, like what if you have someone who like you have kids with someone who doesn't want a family at all? And like you basically have like the single parent thing and like then you got to find somebody else. Like it's big. It's a big decision, you know. So, again, we don't want to make this all about Logan. Do you have anything you want to add or ask us about with that, Logan?
No.
No, he's like, I didn't come on the show for this.
He's like, guys, I don't want this.
But I do think he's got a mental block. You know,
yeah,
I think
for
maybe,
sure.
Maybe no, he'll I, see, help figure it out.
You absolutely have some sort of block up when it comes to dating relationships. And I think it's attached directly to your expectations of what they are.
No, see, I have no mental block on that. Like, it's just my focus is on my big goals that I have in my life.
But your idea
and
is...
as I'm going through those goals, then something can come along with it of, oh, maybe I find a woman who I am attracted to, I love, and she's helping me achieve those bigger goals that I'm always had, that I always have my eyes on.
No, that's fine. But let me tell you two things real quick. So Jeff Bezos and Warren Buffett, right? They wouldn't be who they are without the women in their lives. Jeff Bezos has been with his wife for a very long time. She's a billionaire now. But what people don't see, what the media doesn't talk about, is the woman that's in their life that makes their life freaking possible, that supports them, that helps them with their decision making. Like these are things Warren Buffett has had multiple women in his life that have helped him be who he is. Like Warren, if you look read his biography, he's a very quirky guy. Like he basically just wants to sit in a room and read all day. Like that's what he wants to do. And he's actually had trouble with his kids and things like that. If he didn't have the women in his life, he would not have been able to be Warren Buffett, right?
Yeah.
At least not like and have the support system around him, right? Same thing with Jeff Bezos. Like he's like that type A, like work all the time type of thing. But without his wife that's been with him the whole time, he wouldn't have been able to have the family he has. He wouldn't have probably been able to make the decisions and be able to invest his life into his work like that. So I think you have to maybe think about it as a woman's going to actually help you get to your goals faster than if you did it by yourself. Because I absolutely believe that's
sure.
the case.
I do too.
I totally
but how long has
case.
He been with his wife?
No,
like
okay.
30 plus years.
Yeah, but I see, like, I'm 22, so I don't think there's, like, a rush. It's like, you need to hurry up, you need to hurry up, you need to hurry up. Like,
not a rush
for you to get married,
but for you to have experiences. Like, think about it this way. How many friends do you have, Logan? Do you have one friend, and you invest all your time with that one friend? Or no, you have several here that you've invested time, and do you think that your investment with Colin has taken anything away from your investment in yourself?
Or with Jamie, or, like, in a
right.
No.
So why would you be looking at it like an investment with anyone
because
in any capacity casually is going to take away from you?
Yeah, he's in a relationship.
It is risky.
No, I'm see like the Bumble stuff. Like, why are they on there? I mean, I know some people may be on there for different reasons, but like, for example, I have a friend who's like, he goes on Bumble all the time. I'm like, why are you on there, dude? And he's like, I don't know. I just want to just a date tonight. I'm like, do you want to get a relationship about that? He's like, no, I just want a date tonight. I'm like, okay. I mean, I get your... you know, getting your experience and stuff. But to me, it just sounds like a waste of time and money.
But I disagree.
Is that the first camera you ever recorded on YouTube with? Why?
Because he had a shittier one. He bought a better one.
You tested out a couple of cameras before you decided on the one that you liked?
Well, I mean, I didn't have enough money to buy that thing right away. But yeah, I mean.
So now that you've created the best version of yourself and you have enough capital to give out, Maybe it's time to test out some of the other cameras.
Well, also, I think your analogy you're trying to go for is he just has data with other cameras to be able to let him know that that's a good camera to get, right? It's literally the same thing if you're going to get in a relationship. I guess what we don't want to see is we don't want you to be 30, be a multimillionaire because you're on that path. You're going to get there, right? And then be like, okay, now I'm ready to date. The older you get, the harder it is to find not crazy people that are single. Because most of, this is probably the worst way to go about it. But I've seen this before. The older you get, the harder it is to find a good relationship. People, as they get older, they typically have more baggage, or they have kids,
or like, they get more set in their ways.
Yeah,
and like you're going to be very accustomed to being alone all the time, and then you expect you're going to just be able to like now be with someone
and spend all your time with them or whatever.
Like,
right.
You're going to be hardwired.
Yeah, you're going to be hardwired.
See, that's where it's different. Like, I'm growing from it because I used to be the guy who was like, I could never be alone. I could never be alone.
You went from one opposite end of the spectrum to the other, though,
but
instead
now,
of like finding a happy medium. There's got to be, you can't be an extremist and think that you're doing
No, I'm saying that I literally couldn't like, live alone. Like, I always needed to be around somebody, but now I'm realizing, okay, this is a time for me to grow. Not that I'm not going to spend time with other people. I do, but it's growing my balance of time. Like, it's even correlating to my productivity. It's like, okay, now It's just me. And back then it was like, oh God, no, I can't be by myself. But now it's like growing me. Then when I'm with people, then I'm with those people. And that's when it can correlate to, you know, I don't know, a girl I meet or whatever at a summit or a retreat or social media or whatever.
I challenge you in the next 3 months to go out on at least 3 dates.
Actually, wait, here's a good question.
Coffee dates, when casual.
When was the last date you went on?
I mean,
like the last, like, you know, is obviously a date.
I mean, you can classify today as a date. There's a girl who needs help on her. She's really interested in starting her YouTube channel.
That's not a date.
That's not a date.
No, listen.
Was she into you? Are you interested in her?
I gotta say it first. Let me hear what he says. I gotta say it. She is very attractive. Okay. She does have a boyfriend, but she.
Oh my God.
It is
Logan,
what it is.
That's not a date.
That's
you guys having a meeting and there being some like flirtation and attraction.
Or she watches all my YouTube videos. So I don't know.
That's not a date.
Logan.
No, I know. But
it's more of like a romantic thing.
So when
right?
was the last time you were on a date?
Gosh. I mean, since last relationship.
Okay. So I challenge you in the next 3 months.
One though.
But do okay, I, like, fine. 3 months, like, one
do
date.
Do I have to, like, I mean, I'm not saying I'm not wanting to, but I'm saying like, what happens if I don't go on a date?
What do you mean?
Like, is it a requirement to go on to a date?
We're going to fire you.
This is a challenge.
We're doing a challenge. Just go on one date. And then when you come back on the show, we want to hear exactly what happened.
And a date doesn't have to be you going and spending money. I went on a date. Actually, I went on 2 dates with this guy. I think he spent $5 in both dates. The first date, we went on a walk. We walked for an hour. It was one of the best dates I've had. It was amazing. Second date, we literally went and got coffee and walked around. He spent $5. I mean, granted, we're not going on a third date. I'm not into him, but that's something that he did on the second date.
Well, also,
super weird.
This is what you have to do, though. For it to be qualified as a date, you have to get them to say yes. You have to basically be like, I'd like to go on a date with you. Even if you say it like, I got to do this challenge thing, it's kind of dumb, but will you go on a date with me? That will even
see,
be
I'm
okay.
Not, see, I'm not doing that. Like,
see, he has resistance to it.
Okay, no, but I feel like you need to be honest with yourself about like the fact that you looked at today that it was, oh, I guess it could be, it could qualify as a date when it clearly cannot because she has a boyfriend and she's just wants help from you with YouTube.
Well, she could have been Polly. Like,
no. Brent, just stop.
I think that your idea with like you are so detached from actually dating that you're like telling yourself these versions that in order to like step outside of your comfort zone. You're so comfortable with being alone that you're afraid what might happen if you start to enjoy time with someone romantically.
It's also part of life. You don't need to know. You're not going to like know today.
Just one date. One date in 3 months. Can you do that for me, please?
Just tell her yes.
Sure.
Okay, good.
That's it.
Can we go like even more? Can we mic him up and have you in his ear?
We could literally fall around with a camera where they don't know and like record and stuff. But no, we'll just let him go on his date and it'll be fine.
Monsel knows the RSD guys.
So, and then what we're going to do is we're going to have him back on the show. So anybody who's listening today, if you want to give Logan a boost, right? Or if you want to go on a date with him.
See, I think you think that I'm like DM not confident or like I'm scared to do this.
No, this has nothing to do about with your self-worth, your confidence, whatever. Like, look what you've done. Look what you've built. Look what you turned your body into. Like, you are an amazing, confident, obviously intelligent person who has a lot to share with a lot of people. I just feel like you're missing out on a very important element of being a human, which is connection.
Well, and romantic
and
connection.
Intimacy.
Romantic
connection.
Yeah. Romantic connection. I'm not disagreeing on that. I just feel that like, instead of saying, hey, I'm going to do a challenge, come on, date with me, let's go waste our time.
No, you don't listen to Colin.
There's no opportunity. If an you probably have an opportunity, but if you don't, then, I mean, you could go on Bumble or something, too.
Yeah, but see, I just think opportunities will come by what I'm doing. I think people are blessed with, how did I meet Jamie one day?
That wasn't romantic. You were open and receptive to that.
Yeah.
You are not open and receptive to romantic.
I moved to Austin and I went on multiple dates with multiple girls on online dating. And it still took a lot of those to find Allison, basically.
Yeah. Right. No, I agree with you on that.
And I'm so glad nothing else happened with any of the other ones. Cause like, I would have never met Allison. Right. And unfortunately, in some ways, it can be a numbers game because it's hard to find people that really match up to you. And you are a very unique individual. So it's actually more difficult for you to find somebody because you're going to have high standards. You're going to have a unique lifestyle of the entrepreneur, do whatever you want, whatever. Your business is very important. So she has to be able to understand that. Like you don't want to get with someone I've been with who looks at your work as like almost like you're cheating on them.
Yeah.
Like that shit exists.
They're jealous
right?
of like, what you yeah. have going on.
And so
on.
Like, there's just, I'm saying like, it's just hard to find people. So let's move on though. Cause we do need to get the show done.
I'm so sorry, Logan.
I don't disagree on that.
We made some progress. Cause now he's saying, I don't disagree. Before he was like, no, I'm confident. Now he's like saying he doesn't disagree.
No, I don't disagree with you saying that. Like, it obviously takes experiment, but I'm saying like, let's put it this way. Quality experiments versus like, hey, come on a date with me for one day just so I can know you. And I can just say, oh, cool, trial one.
Well,
done.
But that's being results oriented. You have
don't
to. You're embracing
you're
just
getting.
The process.
Got
to
be A/B testing, bro.
You're just fun.
Literally showing up, and you're going to decide that you're going to put 100% in today, and whatever happens after today happens. And you're not married to the outcome. You're just like, boom, I'm going to be here. I'm going to give 100%. I'm going to pay attention to this woman that I'm attracted to, that I think is also attracted to me, and we're going to wing it.
Also, most of the people that you go on dates with or anything, for all of us, most of them don't, nothing happens, right? So like to think that you're just going to decide one day I'm going to start dating and I'm going to find the person. How many people, what is the percentage of people that you have relationships with that you went on dates with? Like if you had 100 people that you went on a date
to
with.
Nothing.
Exactly. So like I'm saying,
so
I think he has the idea that he's going to, when he's ready, just decide.
It'll just happen.
And it'll just happen. But I don't know, because like if you just let life happen, man, like you might meet them. You know how many girls of my dreams I've met that have been in relationships? Like if they were single, maybe something happened, but nothing happened. Right. And I met that a lot. And I always told myself, it just doesn't happen anyway. So let's move on to the next part.
All right.
You guys can definitely DM Logan @Logan_FusionLean on Instagram if you want to give him a little motivation or pep talk. Whatever.
And if you think Logan's hot, slide into those DMs and don't tell him anything like professional. Just be like, hey, let's go on a date.
Yeah.
He's going to get so many.
If any of them waste my time, I'm deleting those messages.
Stop.
Also, if he doesn't respond to you, as we established earlier, he thinks you're ugly.
You can also, if you're not sure how to approach Logan, you can DM me and I will play matchmaker.
Logan's official agent.
Oh, actually, this is not so bad. Ladies, if you want a chance to hang out with Logan, I will pre-qualify you. So you can DM me @EbonyKenny on Instagram.
Yes.
And I will play matchmaker. I like this.
You can send them my schedule and they can book a time.
Calendly.
Calendly links coming up.
Okay, we're officially moving on. We covered relationships. For most people, risks are either going to be professional or personal. So a lot of personal risk is going to be related to relationships. We're going to talk about life risks in a second, but let's talk about risks in the workplace and or, you know, like maybe business owner doing a side hustle. Maybe you're writing a book and you want to put it out there, but you're afraid it'll fail. Like, what are some of these things that we can unpack, and what are some risks people can take in the workplace or the professional life?
So we mentioned earlier the asking for a raise thing, but I have another one that I feel like would be pretty something that people have run into, and that's looking for another job.
What do you mean?
The idea that if your boss finds out that you're looking for another job, they're going to fire you.
Well, some will actually.
Some might, but there's a risk there. The statistics are very clear. Those that change their career or change their employer every couple of years make a significant amount more money than somebody who stays with the employer for their entire career, which is the opposite of what it used to be, say, like in our parents' generation, where you picked a company and you stuck with them.
I mean, if you think bigger and you can do things exponential in your current position, a lot of times you can do more than switching, because switching can kind of a lot of times set you back.
Maybe.
So I don't know. I mean,
which is another risk. We're talking about risks here. We're not talking about necessarily the best path. Your company might, there may be a company where you could go ask for a raise, but it may be that if you go ask for a raise and you're told no, or you can't go ask for a raise, the right thing is to look for another job. And a lot of people can identify with the risks involved in going around and asking. And I always took this approach in my life when I was looking at other positions and other jobs, when I had jobs, was I saw every interview as a trial run or experience for the interview that really mattered the most to me for the job that I wanted the most. And it also gave me a free vacation a lot of times if somebody flew you out somewhere to do an interview. And none of the times did my boss find out and say, you're fired? So I think that's a one of the risks that in people's mind is over-exaggerated.
But why would they... So this today's show is supposed to be about risks personally and like make yourself uncomfortable. I don't think just trying to find another job and being afraid you're going to get fired. I'm not talking about go staying on a ledge because you might fall off, like that kind of risk. Like I'm talking about, we're talking about risks from the person. So if they're going to do that, if they're going to go interview at other places and risk losing their job, they need to have a good reason. They need to be either their discontent in their job or they're not growing or something like that. Like you got to give me something other than like go try to find another job. Like why do people want to find another job? Most people should just try to do the best at their current job and not be running around trying to find another job.
Well, that might be true if they're at a good company. There's a lot of reasons that they could be looking around. The risk that I'm referring to there is losing your position. Is the same way you think that you're risking making your boss mad when you ask them for a raise, yeah, when really you're just, most of the time.
But why would you just find another job unless it's going to be better?
I guess that's the risk, is like where you're risking moving from your current place, which you are maybe you're not happy, maybe you're content, maybe it's enough,
yep,
just enough. But stepping outside of that and moving into a place that is more, and like, how dare you? What okay, if you
so
fail?
That's fine. We can work with this. So I think what you need to preface it by saying is if you're not content in your job or there's a cap or you're not growing, then you would want to take the risk to find something that could potentially be better, right? Yes. That's why you wouldn't want to take that risk. And the risk would be you think you're going to get fired maybe before
or you think the other job would suck.
Yeah, or the grass won't be greener or whatever.
What's so the risk we can take?
I guess the risk would be if you stay your current job, you won't risk your income, right? But the job is maybe not fulfilling you or doesn't have – you can't unleash your true potential. And so if you take the risk to try to find something else, you risk maybe losing that job before you actually have another job. But that would be a risk that like in today's show, we're trying to talk about, that you would want to make, because you should always be seeking to grow.
Yeah.
Whereas if you try to stay safe and keep that same paycheck, right? Or what's even better with this type of thing is take a job for less pay because you have more upside or more opportunity to grow.
Yes.
And most people won't do that. And mm-hmm. those are the type of risks that you should really take. Like take the job where you learn from the guy, like the star lawyer or this or that or whatever, and you can learn a ton, right? But you get paid less money than what you have today. Most people will always stay in that comfortable position because they make more money, because they always only think in terms of dollars now instead of maybe dollars or growth later.
Right. And then they don't want to be challenged. Like at the end of the day, like you said, most people are going to work, they're clocking in, they're clocking out, and they're like robots just
living
going
for the weekend.
Yeah, going, you know, Monday through Friday, and yeah, they're just like ready. They're like, "Oh, weekend warriors." And then they do it all over again. And then they fast forward 25 years and they're like, what the fuck has my life become?
Yeah. So that's what I think we need to talk about. I think we need to have people think about, if you stay, and this is what was my sell to Brent. He was going to take a $100,000 a year job in Boston. And I was like, Brent, where are you going to be if you keep doing the same thing for the next 10 years? What is going to change in your life? Like almost nothing. Mm-hmm. You'll live the same exact life you're living now. If you want to actually like 10 extra results or do something completely different, you need to move to Austin because we're going to do some amazing shit.
Right.
Right. And that was basically the sell.
Granted, right? There are some
people. For half
people,
the money.
There are some people in life who are just easily pleased and they are actually fulfilled and happy. And I wish, oh my God, I wish so much less.
But there's not that many people that are actually like that.
No, there are some.
Some.
Period. Some. This is not, those, they're outliers, those people.
Yeah.
Most people are, not most, but a lot of people aren't thrilled, or they want more. They desire more for themselves or for their family or for their future, but they're too afraid to take action on that.
This is
because
most so.
this is the idea. There's this idea that like, what if I fail? They're so afraid of fear that they allow fear to control their actions and they will do nothing. And that's crazy.
Well, but it makes sense evolutionarily. Remember,
yeah.
If we took a social risk and we failed, it could reduce our chances of mating. It could reduce our chances of getting food. If we did it enough and people didn't like us, we could get kicked out of the group, right?
Mm-hmm.
But today, if you take a business risk, right? If you take a relationship risk or you tell somebody, the worst is someone's going to make fun of you. And a lot of times they won't even, or they'll talk behind your back or whatever, right? But if you don't take those risks, you don't grow, because risk is exactly correlated to reward, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the big thing. That is the big thing. Yet we're programmed to try to stay comfortable and to avoid risk. Also, risk in the wild might have been like venturing out by yourself. Like if
at
we were
night?
At Ooh. Night, you're yep. you'd get eaten because every other predator can see and hear in the dark, and we can't, right?
And then the rest of your tribe is pissed. They call you an idiot.
Or
like,
they
that's
eat,
so selfish.
Or they eat your remains.
Or they're grateful.
Yeah. And so But today, like these risks, for the most part, I mean, I think about business risk all the time. People are like, I don't want to risk money or I don't want to give up my job or whatever. But they want to have the life of an entrepreneur. They want to travel. They want to live like amazing life, set their schedule, right? But you could literally take on, you could build a business with almost nothing, first of all. You could take on credit card debt and then you could literally file for bankruptcy. And then 7 years later, you're good to go. Like we in India and some other places, you can actually borrow money from people and they'll come chop your arm off. And there used to be debtor's prison. Do you know that? Like yep. In the 1600s, 1700s, there was, I mean, even to like the 1900s, you would literally go to jail if you couldn't pay your debt. We live in the most risk-friendly society in the world, right? And time in history. And yet people are still so addicted to their comfort. In fact, what's that quote? The greatest addictions, it's like are salary, heroin, and sugar. Pretty sure Taleb said it.
Are what?
The three most harmful addictions are heroin. It's loading. Carbohydrates and a monthly salary. Taleb said that. Nassim Taleb, he's one of my favorite authors. So, I mean, think about that. Why is this monthly salary an addiction? I think that's kind of what we're talking about, like with the job risk thing. Yeah. Because it keeps you doing the same crap and not taking risks.
It's holding you hostage, honestly.
It is. Anybody got anything else to add on this one?
No.
Take Logan, risks.
What do you think? I mean, Logan, like think about it. You dropped out of college. Everything about your path thus far has been a risk.
Yeah.
So like, what was your thought process when you decided you were going to drop out of college and you were going to do this and you were going to take a chance on yourself?
I mean, I just had such a vision at what I wanted. I wanted it bad enough that, sure, it was a risk, but I wanted it so bad that I honestly didn't doubt myself because I knew what I was willing to do. I knew I was willing to put in the work. Mm. Like the run yesterday. Again, I had people saying, Logan, you probably will have an ambulance there. You physically cannot run 30 miles with no training. You're probably gonna have a heart attack. Now, going into that, if I thought that, oh God, they're probably right, then I probably would have. But I went in there, I was like, I'm gonna finish. I mean, I spent 8 freaking hours, like literally talking to myself, like, okay, you got 8 hours left of running, 8 hours left of running, 8 hours left of running. I literally thought that the entire time. I'm like, is this really ever going to end? But I was like, no, it's going to end. And I kept telling myself that for 8 hours straight. Like, you will make it. And so, I mean, I just had the vision more than I did the pain.
This is right. Exactly what Brent was doing when he's walking up the flight of stairs before the show.
Yes. I completely...
Is it ever going to end? Two flights.
But here's the thing. Here's what's so great about that is that if at any point during that run yesterday, if you had decided you were done and you couldn't do any more, if you had stopped at 7 hours, guess what? You still would have gotten 7 hours of running.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
3 hours.
Like anything an hour,
it's just deciding.
20 minutes, it's just deciding to get up and go. And I think most people let their idea of failure stop mm-hmm. them from even making a decision.
And it hurts them more when they don't even decide. Because if you decide and you fail, you get bigger reward from that than not even deciding.
You grow so much more. Yeah, you learn that's why
starting. Starting is so important.
Yeah.
But also, if you would have done 2 hours, right? And your whole social media following, which is almost 200,000 followers right now, right? Mm-hmm. You were like, guys, gals, I just can't do it. I did 2 hours, right? What do you think would have happened?
Well, okay, so my friends finished 50. They've been training for marathons. They ran marathons like 2 weeks ago. They run about 2 to 4 miles a day. And the plan was to do 50. And they finished 50. After coming up on the 30th mile, I couldn't walk. I mean, mm-hmm. I couldn't do it. But I had to make myself do it. And so I finished 30 miles. And actually, it's funny I finished 30 because it was 3 year anniversary of my diagnosis. So 3 year and 30 miles. I thought it was like, okay, that fits perfect. Like I just achieved an ultra marathon with no training. That right there is I just took a massive risk and I just achieved a big, big goal right there. So again, I told everybody on social media, I was like, yeah, 50 miles, we're going to do it. But then I got 30 and I said, look, guys, like I just did this with no training. I did 30 miles. I didn't get 50, but I just did it and I did the best that I possibly could. And of course, no one was like, you know, are you serious, bro?
The response was positive.
Yeah, right? It was all positive. Yeah.
But what if you quit after 5, after 10? Like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there probably would have been people like, bro, are you kidding me? Come on, dude.
Okay. And then, yeah, then
and those are the people that are they running 5 and 10?
They're on
miles?
Social media no. watching you run.
Yeah, no, there's actually comments on my post. There's one guy who was like, oh, come on, bro. You're wearing the wrong something. #rookie, and then like it's so yep. funny. Yep.
And but that's an example. Like haters will find anything, even when you have nothing, they'll latch onto something.
Yeah,
and it brings me to the perfect quote that we'll probably use in the show. I'm not saying anybody has anything to add, but it is the man in the arena. Does anybody know who this quote is attributed to. The man in the arena. From the speech, Citizen in a Republic, Paris, France, 1910. It is Theodore Roosevelt. Okay. You guys ready for this? It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. I take a breath after that. So this is one of my favorite quotes because it's the guy in the arena, right? And he's talking about all the people, all the critics, all the people watching in the stands that always have something to say. They will always forever have something to say. When you're successful, they'll criticize you for not being successful enough. When you fail, they'll laugh at you and make themselves feel better. They'll project onto you as to why you shouldn't have started in the first place. But you will know in every instance that you started, you're the guy in the arena or the girl in the arena. You're the one who's doing the thing, taking the action, and you're the person who actually moves the human species forward. Whereas those that try to hold you back are the ones that keep us stuck in the Stone Age. And so we're going to wrap up with that today. Make sure you like and subscribe. Send us questions and comments to ancestralmind@gmail.com. Make sure you go and get the opt-in over at uncagedcollective.com. Is that right?
Yep, uncagedcollective.com.
Get this mistakes you're making in dating. Get the ebook, right? Get on that email list. A lot of value there. Make sure you go follow Logan at Logan_FusionLean. And then just Logan, S-N-E-E-D on YouTube.
Correct.
And then Brent Philbin. We don't have your brand stuff yet. So you just come back here.
No, I'm just a guy that produces podcasts.
He is, though, he is a guy in the arena.
Yeah, don't be making fun of any of this audio here unless you're editing your own audio. All right.
Thanks for watching, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Oh, shit. That's still on. Whatever, it'll be a fun outro.